draft invitation is song number 589.
Good morning, family.
Good morning.
It's good to be here again. I thank God for allowing us this opportunity to meet. You know, sometimes, even with me, we take things for granted. Just a little insert here. Like Tony said, Joshua and Emily was in a car accident last night. And it's amazing. It's amazing how God worked. She was T-boned from the side. I'm a technician. Those little small cars, those are unibody cars. They don't have a frame on it. So it don't take much to total the car, but you look at it from the side and you say it can't be nothing but God that was there with them. You know, and I say that because I get up with the same approach to life like I do normally, and I try to, you try to force yourself to say, Lord, I'm thankful for this, that, and the other, because you come up saying that redundantly and you get into a rut of taking God for granted. When in fact, something as simple as that gets you back on track quick. Because, you know, one of the things I remember about when I used to read the Bible as a kid, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a short time.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. In the twinkling of an eye. I thank God for being here this morning to look at them and see them here. Regardless of whether they have a car, an abstract object or not, God brought them through. So, I'm thankful for that. Let me get on with my lesson. I thank God for the leadership. It is wonderful that we have leadership, good Christian spiritual leadership here. Curtis, Tim, and all the guys here, I love the way they come here because we become a leaning post for each other. That's the only way it works. There is no special breed. There is no spaceship out there that's planting good Christians. That ain't how that works. That's us deciding to change and follow God. I thank God for that leadership and continue to grow. And then with that, you have to accept that sometimes, we're not going to always get it right. You got to accept that. I thank God for that. I thank God for my church family. I look forward to coming here. I do. I really do. You mean a lot to me. Sometimes I don't show it, but some things are just a little bit more emotional with me than they are others. And I, just, you know, I'm just thankful because until you experience a loss, you don't know what a loss is. You guess it. I thank God for showing it to us so I know how precious it is to have life. My wife, my family members over there, thank God for them. Now, before I get into my lesson, if you would, please let us bow. Let me say a prayer. I want to be influenced by the Lord as I go through this. Let us bow. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for my family here. Thank you so much for allowing us the right mind. And more importantly, Lord, thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us, Father. I ask that everything that we say, I teach, or come out today be of your will, Father, and is used for us to grow and move in your word. We ask that it stay on our heart, Father, and that as those temptations come, we lean not toward that, but lean toward you. We ask these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. My lesson will be coming today from St. Matthew's, Matthew's 28, verses 18 through 20. When you have it, I'm dealing with some new glasses this morning. Say amen. I'll read. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but let me get on into my lesson. Let me give you a little bit of background on this. This is Jesus. Jesus spent 33 years here on earth. His time is winding down. This is important for us because of exactly what he said here in this passage. Well, Jesus, he is betrayed by Judas. Look, back up so you can understand where this comes from. He's betrayed by Judas, and later he is arrested. When Judas betrays him, he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was taken before the high priest, and Judas, after seeing him condemned, brought his 30 pieces of silver back. Jesus then brought before Pilate, and Pilate couldn't find anything wrong. So Pilate washes his hand of it. This is a little back. We bring you back. Get you up to where we at. Because this is important when we go through this. He then washes his hand of the event. The people chose to crucify Jesus. That's important to know because in those days, you could, or they had this ritual or this custom that they would let somebody who committed a crime go free. And he was there with the thieves. They chose to let the thief go free. This is Jesus now. They chose to let him go free, and they wanted to crucify Jesus. He was nailed to the cross, and he died for our sins. Buried in a tomb, Joseph's tomb, and 3 days after he rose, which happened to be the first day of the week, he rose on that day. On the third day, both Marys goes out to his tomb to find an angel there. And the angel says, he's risen. And go back and tell the disciples. They go back to tell the disciples. The 11 disciples now, because Judas, the one who betrayed him, is no longer with the group. The 11 disciples get together and they go to Galilee, to the mountain where they was appointed as disciples. And when they saw Jesus, some of them doubted what they saw. All of this is important. You say, well, Grady, why are you giving me this background? Because we're getting to a point. The title for my sermon is that it's called The Great Commission. The Great Commission. And one question with it, where do you stand? The Great Commission. You know, we're going to break this thing down because Jesus, in those three verses, he says a lot. He says it's a lot. You hear me? He puts it out to you. If there was ever any doubt about what you as a Christian should be doing or supposed to do, he broke it down. He shucked it down to the cob for us. He got it there for us. So let's go through it. We're going to break it down and then try to answer our question we have. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? Verse 18, Jesus tells us his remaining 11 disciples that all power is given unto him unto heaven and in earth. Meaning, God has granted Jesus full absolute authority over heaven and earth. Also meaning, when we pray, why we should say or why we should ask in Jesus' name. Why is this important? Jesus, Verse number one, why is this so crucial to making it simple? You don't have to look around through the Bible to figure out where your source of comfort should be coming from. Your guidance, your understanding, your trouble, your joy. He was granted full power, authority, the whole nine yards. This is it. You don't need to look any further. This is what Jesus granted. Verse 18, that's what he tells us. And when we get down in prayer and need to talk, need to have that close up, need to get that guidance, we are told, ask in his name. His name. Verse 18. He's simple. Pretty easy. Verse 19. Jesus tells them, the disciples, to go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of all nations. He didn't just say the United States. He didn't say overseas. He didn't say Bethlehem. He didn't say in it. All nations. All nations. Why do we struggle with color, people with different names and heights, or whatever the case may be, or how much money they got, is beyond me. It's simple. All of the entire world. Go out. Make disciples of the entire world. This is what Jesus is saying. Now listen, again, the reason this is so important is because this is what they call the Great Commission. Let me back up a few minutes and make that clear to you. What that is a mission statement. This is what I need you to do. Period. I'm getting ready to leave. Curtis, this is your work call. This is your job description. This is what I need you to do. I need you to go out and do this. Just do this. Do this what I tell you. Church, listen to me. If you can read this and still be confused about where we stand with God's love, grace, and mercy, then there's something else going on in your head. Because Jesus sets it plain and simple for us. He says, listen, and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say that group after the second pew let them go. He said everybody. That's what he's saying. That's what it's coming down to. And we'll get into what a discipleship and what a disciple is so we can understand how important it is. When he said, go out, that means you can't come to church on Sunday, stop, don't come back no more until next Sunday, and you've done everything you're supposed to do. That's wrong. He said, go out. That means you got to leave somewhere. You got to get involved. You got to say something. You got to do. You are responsible for taking the word out. We are. Verse 19. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he have commanded us. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Meaning, simple. Obedient to the gospel. That's all it is. Not your brother, your uncle, how you thought, transition, whatever going on, whatever tradition you got, that ain't what it is. Be obedient to the gospel. Obey the word. I know you say, but well, you keep going. Listen, if it was good enough for the 11 disciples, if it was good enough for Jesus to say, it certainly got to be good enough for our salvation. It's got to be. It's got to be. Nothing should be this complicated. Nothing in the world. He makes it exceedingly simple for us. Obey the Bible. That's it. Not the particular group you with, not what. Follow the Bible. Who? All of you. When? Now. That's what it's saying. Who? He's talking about us. So when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to church, when it comes to doing what's right, you don't selectively pick a group. You don't say, well, I'll talk to them next Sunday at church. You know, I'm going to tell you one of the things that pricked me on this and got me to do this. If my child asked me, any of them asked me, anybody asked me, say, Grady, how many people can you say you're responsible for helping come to Christ? Now, you ain't got to ask that question to me. But that question has got to come up. It's got to, from what he said, from what Jesus is telling them here on his mission statement, he said, go out. Teach all nations. Make disciples of them. How do you do that? Sitting in the chair for an hour and 45 minutes on Sunday morning. How can you do it? How do you do that staying home and waiting for somebody to call you? How do you do that? Listen to me. When you say, well, I don't know them. They're not from my church. They don't look like me. They don't dress like me. They don't walk like me. How can you do it? I don't know. I know y'all tired of me hollering or whatever the case may be. But it's amazing to me, because here's the thing that drives me. Look, that's what drives me. I look at this and I don't say, how can I correct Bob or Joe? I say, how can I get Grady right? That's what I look at it and say. And I know I'm not no Martian. I know in this society, in this world, that I'm not no alien. I know if I overlook some things, if I forget some things, I know you probably did too. That's how I feel about it now. That's why I don't condemn you if something go wrong and it affects me. I make mistakes too. Or I have wrongfully hurt someone. You have to accept that. Now, come on now. He said, go out to all nations. All nations. He says, tell everybody. He said, listen, don't teach him what mom and daddy taught you. He said, teach him this, the word. Hold to the commandment. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So when he says, or when the theologians took him in, say the greatest question that is influencing the church today is who is going to choose to follow Jesus. That's what they say it is. They say that's the biggest question. They come. A lot of them come. A lot of them come. This is not it. They can fill a church up. But are they going to follow Jesus? Are they going to be disciples of Jesus? Are they going to teach the word of God? Are they going to bring souls to Christ? There's a lot of. Man, I've met people that said, I go to church, I sing in two choirs. You hear that? My church, they got a revolving pulpit. What? Yeah. You know, I was in overseas, and I had one of my fellow officers come to me and say, Chief, you need to go over here to church over here. That's where all the officers go. Huh? Now, you say, well, Grant, what do you mean? That's officers. These are like the well-to-do folks, and these are the enlisted side. So they say, you need to go to church over here where all the officers go. Now, y'all smile, but you know we have that now. We status. We want to go to big churches. Some of us do. I want to go where the crowd is at. That has zero to do with our commission. Zero to do with your marching orders. Zero to do with your statement. Jesus, before he left, this is what he told us. This is what he said. Do this. Do this. Do this. Go out to all nations. He didn't say the rich ones. He didn't say the officer side. He didn't say multi-millionaires. He didn't say go to all the black places. He didn't say go to all the white places. He said go out to all nations. Make disciples of all nations. How do you do that and not go there? How do you do that and not leave the church? How do you do it? So when we sit here and say, amen, praise Lord, thank God, whatever the case may be, exactly what does that mean? when it comes to the Great Commission. And lastly, what got to me, you know, he says, lo, I'll be with you, even to the end of the earth. Now for me, let me tell you what that means. When I'm not getting along with my wife, when I'm not getting along with my kids, when I'm not getting along with my brother, when I'm not getting along with nobody else, I can still go to Jesus. Huh? That means when they disagree with where I'm at, I can still go to Jesus. That means when I'm in a foxhole getting ready to get bum shot up or what, I can go to Jesus. That means when I happen to lose a loved one, I can go to Jesus. I don't know about you, but it has a profound impact on me. Especially when you take heading the household serious. Especially when you know somebody's counting on you. Especially when you know a lot of things in this world people tell you is just frankly not true. Color has zero to do with the heart. Color has zero to do with the heart. Wrong has no color, neither does right. It's either right or wrong. So, when I look at this, and he say, go ye therefore, and teach all nations. I don't have a problem telling somebody in the line about where I go to church at. I don't have a problem saying, when they say, well, why do you do this so-and-so? God's been good to me. I don't have a problem saying that. I don't have a problem saying, you know, some of my family members, you know where they get a kick at? You know, I had some people come up to my house, and I say, this is my daddy, my brother, my sister, and all that other stuff, and they see Mr. Shirley, Miss Shirley, Miss Lucille, or whatever, they look at me like I got an Ebola virus. What in the world is he talking about? He's hot. No, they're my family. They're my family. I had to tell someone day before yesterday that there are people in the church that I'm closer to than my biological blood family members. I can do that. I can do that because I feel rock solid on where my commission statement is. I know where my health and strength come from. You know, we glaze over these things, but you got to answer these questions to yourself. If not, you're going to answer to him. You're going to answer to him. So when I preach this morning, when I come to you this morning, that great commission statement, my question is, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? The facade, the fake, the role, the acting. You know, Greg went to A&T. He was going to be an actor. And Greg didn't have a term out of it. He says, whatever you do as an actor, never break character. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, whatever you do, I don't care how the movie goes, don't break character. Stay whoever that is you're supposed to be. 2 years after he out of there, I'm still calling him the character that he was in the show. He's acting in the thing. You know, if you're a Christian, don't break character. Stay a Christian. Stay a Christian. Whatever you do, don't break character. Lo, I'll be with you, even until the end of the earth. That's your help. That's your strength. When you look at your commission, the great commission, as the theologians say, it's simple. I am to go out and teach the world and follow God's way, his word, his doctrine. That's how we do it. And listen to me. Lo, I'll be with you, even until the end of the earth. You couldn't ask for no more. That's your sustainer. That's our savior. That's one going to take you. That's who's here for you. That job, that money, that group, that gang. That stuff going away. That good health. Listen to me. Hold on. Hold on. And whatever you do, whatever you do, what he says, know this, all power on heaven and earth has been granted to your Savior. There is nobody out there bigger than him. There is nobody stronger than him. Amen? Lord knows I go through when I go through my lessons. I don't want to hold y'all up. I'm going to go ahead. But I go through my lessons and it pricks me. I know what I struggle with. I know what I have to go through. And I know what I got to raise. I got a family. I got people looking at me. And I look at my neighbor. I feel just as hard when my neighbor goes through something or you go through something as it is with me. It may not look like it, but I do. I thank God for that. My daddy and my brothers used to say, Grady, he too sensitive. That's what they say. I'm here to tell you today, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. That's a trait and a quality of God. You hear me? For Jesus to come here and not do anything wrong and die for me, you can call it too sensitive. I think the sensitivity they had, Lord knows I do. That's our salvation. So, in closing, listen to your commission statement. Get it right with yourself and God. That's who you got to answer with. And by all means, be truthful with yourself. Be truthful with yourself. Being a Christian means lasting longer than an hour and 30 minutes on Sunday. There's a lot more to it. And if you realize and know that somewhere you went along the way, you got out of plan, you got out of socket, you got off track, you got, as we say, cavalier and redundant, then get back with God's plan. And you do that by hearing the gospel. You'll find that in Romans 10, 13 through 17. Believe in Christ. Mark 16, verses 15 through 16. Repent of past sins. You got to. Repent of past sins. You'll find that in Acts 2, 36 to 47. Confess Christ. I know where my health and strength come from. Lord, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the sole reason that I'm here. See, I know who mine come from. I know where it come from. Whether I wake up or come back or be here this afternoon, I know who granted this to me. And all I can say when I meet my Maker is, thank you, Lord. For I didn't deserve it, nor did I earn it. Be baptized. Acts 22, verses 16, and 1 Peter 3 and 21. And live faithfully unto death. That's the part that I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to do it. And I need you to help me do that. You see me falling short, stumble, please prop me up. Please talk to me. I ask that. And I pose this to you, church, not as strangers, not as citizens of Albemarle, but as family. As family. I want to see you in heaven, too. So if you have a need, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.